Dr. King has some strong words for the white liberal, doesn't he? I am a white liberal, and I am racist. I work hard to be anti-racist because I know that I am racist. I am racist because I was raised, as is every single one of us in the U.S. and in most countries, in a racist society. We cannot escape. Do you know about Tamir Rice? Tamir Rice was a 12-year-old boy playing with a toy gun in a park. Within 2 seconds of arriving on the scene, one of the police officers fired 2 shots before the car had even stopped. After the shooting, neither officer administered any first aid to the boy. He died the following day, 12 years old. Do we think that a white child playing with a toy gun in a park would have also been killed within 2 seconds? The statistics tell us the truth. In 2015, young black men were 9 times more likely than other Americans to be killed by police officers. And this isn't just about police officers. It's about all of us, raised in a system where white people are by default good and black people bad. Of course, we think differently, right? We think all are good. We are not racist. But consider Dr. King's warning to the white liberal. And consider the black writer Britt Bennett's challenging piece, "I Don't Know What to Do with Good White People." She says that sometimes the blatant racism of white supremacists is simpler to deal with because it announces itself. She asks, how do you deal with the white people who congratulate themselves for their non-racism, who say, "I am a good white person," or who excuse themselves after a misstep by saying, "It is never my intention to harm anyone," which is what Daniel Pantaleo said after Eric Garner's death. Remember, Eric Garner was a black man who was unarmed, selling loose cigarettes was his only crime, and he was choked to death by several policemen. Britt Bennett says, "What good are your good intentions if they kill us?" So I say that I am racist because I know that being anti-racist is about more than good intentions. The first time this became really clear to me was in graduate school when I took Harvard's implicit association test. Has anyone ever taken this online test? I put the link for it in your announcements. I encourage you to check it out. It's an online test you can take that measures what they call your implicit associations, unconscious biases about race, gender, sexuality, ability. They have many tests. The first one I took back in graduate school was about race, specifically Euro-Americans and African-Americans. The way it works is that photos and words flash on your computer screen, and you have to very quickly sort the images and words by using 2 buttons on your keyboard. So, for example, you press the E key every time you see a white face pictured or a good word, like beauty, love, happy, good. And you use the other key for black faces or the bad words, like evil, hurt, failure, etc. Then they reverse it, so you have to categorize good words with black faces and bad words with white faces. And they reverse it again, and it's randomized each time someone takes the test. And this is key. You have to do it quickly so that your brain is relying on its automatic associations. So I didn't need to see the score to know, because it was deeply unsettling to me that when I was trying to sort good words with bad faces, my finger just kept making mistakes. And it was so easy to sort those good words with white faces. The results said that I had a moderate automatic preference for European American compared to African American. That's only one step down from the highest score, which is strong automatic preference. And the question is, why wouldn't I have an automatic bias for white faces, even if I don't want to or intend that bias? Most of my life, I have been in predominantly white communities. Most of our leaders, authority figures, and heroes have been white. Perhaps you've heard that of the 20 actors nominated for an Oscar, all of them are white for the second year in a row. And the years in which there is a person of color nominated for an Oscar, it's usually for a role like a villain, or a servant, or a criminal, or a poor, struggling person who perseveres because they are helped by a white person. So this week I took the test again, just right there in the office, and despite all the anti-racist training I've had, despite the Black and Latino friends I've made, my score was the same. While our culture remains unequal, we'll be fighting an uphill battle to uproot our own prejudices. So in the meantime, the task is to become aware of the bias and continually counteract that bias with informed, conscious actions. That's why it's called being anti-racist, because it's about action. If I'm not actively doing something, I'm inevitably, unintentionally racist. Even when I'm trying to be anti-racist, I make mistakes. I get self-righteous. I start telling people of color how to be respectable in a white person's world. So I have to continue to educate myself and recommit. This week, I took another test on the same site, this one measuring your associations of white people and Black people with weapons. My result here was even stronger, a strong association of Black people with weapons. And we wonder why Tamir Rice was killed. A Black boy with a toy gun. Or Amadou Diallo, who was unarmed and fired upon 41 times by police after he reached for his wallet. These are not anomalies. We'll want to explain them away, justify them, but they're not anomalies. They're part of a clear, clear, long pattern. Dr. King said, "The white liberal must see that the Negro needs not only love, but justice. The path to justice will include tension," he reminds us. He said it is important for the liberal to see that the oppressed person who agitates for his rights is not the creator of tension. He merely brings out the hidden tension that is already alive, just like that test did for me. Just look at the tension between our political parties. We see blatant racism coming from some presidential candidates, and we must not stand for it, of course. And we must also remember that just because our own racism is not as blatant or intentional, that it does not exist. So let us work for justice by first recognizing our own biases so that we can be honest with ourselves about the source and the depth of the problem. Then let us work in solidarity with people of color so that we can create a beloved community where the color of your skin or your social class, your sexual orientation or your gender or your ability does not determine your opportunities. Each of us has varying degrees of privilege, and each of us experiences varying degrees of oppression. So the good news is we can join together with humility and with courage to make the world better for the next generation. May it be so. Amen and blessed be.